Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hey everyone, it's Jonah. So this month we're revisiting some of our favorite episodes and letting you hear some bonus footage from How Did We Get Weird. And today we are very happy to bring you an episode we did a while back with Michelle Zahner from Japanese Breakfast. Vanessa, you remember this one?
Yes, I absolutely love this episode. It's one of my favorites. We talk about VHS tapes, but we also really get into music class. I maybe burn one of our music teachers from growing up. And we talk about a bunch of really fun stuff. She was absolutely fantastic. And I know we're both really big fans of hers too. And I think people will really enjoy this episode, even if you've already heard it. And also be sure to subscribe to the podcast so that when we release bonus stuff like this, you always get it. And we hope that you'll absolutely enjoy this very, truly much. Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are pretty young at heart and in age, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird.
So, Jonah, I was thinking in honor of our guest today being the musical guest for the finale of the most recent season of SNL, we could talk about this thing that used to happen when I was at SNL, which is, well, let me back up because this is a nostalgic podcast and this story is based in nostalgia. When we were growing up, everybody used to call me Jonah's little sister. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that because I don't think I heard that reference as much probably.
Right, because I guess it was referenced towards me.
It would be like your sister.
Yeah, and it would be like when I was like walking in the hallway at school or something, people would be like, that's Jonah's little sister. That's how all your friends talk. And I always thought it was cool though, because I was like, yeah, whatever, it's whatever. And then once I got on SNL, when you would come visit, people would be like, that's Vanessa's brother. However, here's where the twist comes in. Because you were such a cool music guy, whenever the bands would come, they would usually know you, or they would often know you, and they'd be like, that's Jonah's little sister again. And I loved that I was back to being Jonah's little sister when I was at SNL.
Yeah, that was nice for you. I mean, I felt like I had no real status at SNL unless you were actually physically with me. Like, I remember if we wanted to see the band or something, I'd walk on. If I wasn't with you, they'd be like, yeah, no. And if I was with you, I was like, okay, I can kind of like
have free reign a little more.
Well, you didn't have status with the security people.
The security was not impressed with like my status in high school or something.
Right. But the bands oftentimes would be like, yeah, we were at Pitchfork together. Remember? This is you guys. That was an awesome set.
That's like probably a verbatim conversation I had with someone.
Yeah.
I felt like it was actually a lot more like the crews and like the techs and stuff where people generally I knew. Some of the bands.
Right.
But a lot of the people that work in the touring industry. But yeah, that's a crazy full circle moment, huh, Vanessa?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of today, our guest played the SNL finale this season. She's a singer, musician, director, and author, best known as a vocalist and songwriter of Japanese Breakfast. She released her book, Crying in H Mart, in 2021, which is a New York Times bestseller. Let's please welcome Michelle Zahner. Hey, Michelle.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Thanks for being here. Did you enjoy that story?
I did enjoy that story. As an only child, it's like the world of siblings is so sweet and fascinating to me. And it brought me back to my very lovely experience at SNL and how fun of a time that was.
Yeah, I'm so glad you had a good time. I went back once after I was on the show and I did something on Weekend Update and I got to be in one of the, not like the dressing room you get to be in is, I feel like, so cool, but I was in one of the other dressing rooms in the front. I'm sure you got this too. They bring in this like plate that has like all these cheeses and nuts on it. Did you get that?
I can't recall. Yes, we probably did. We probably did. Yeah.
You were maybe less focused on it than I was, but like.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like not eating during this time, not because of like wanting to lose weight or anything, but like I was so nervous that something was going to upset my stomach and that right. I was going to have anxiety. I was just so nervous. Like the entire week I was like not eating much because I was so worried that something was going to upset my stomach and I would have a stomach ache on it. That was like this strange intense and like fear and anxiety. So I was like not eating anything. Yeah.
Yeah. I did the opposite. I got there and I was like, oh my God. I gotta
load up on this cheese.
As much as like, you know, SNL is a great experience. Like the free food, especially when you're in the cast, is not, there's not a lot of it. There's free food on like the read through day on Wednesday when you read through all the sketches. And then that's basically it. And so it was so fun to like be in my dressing room, then bring in like, I had like this thing. It's like cheese and it's like the same cheese plate that's like when you walk by Seth Meyers' show, it's like outside there. I don't know. It's a great cheese plate.
It's a specific NBC.
It's like a specific NBC cheese plate. And it's just for listeners, like it's huge. It's like not like it's like a few pieces of cheese. It's like, I think it is supposed to be big enough for like your entire band or something or like the people in your entourage. But it was basically like, I was just like, they're like, okay, I got this. And then people would like come into my dressing room. And again, just to clarify, this was like, I was doing like a guest thing on SNL a year after I had like left the show and people were coming in. And in my mind, I think they were coming in to talk to me, but part of me was like, do they just want cheese?
Like people you haven't seen in a year, you think?
Yeah, like people being like, oh my God, welcome back, Vanessa. Like, you know, do you mind if I have like a piece of this? Is this cool if I just have a piece of this cheese?
And you're like, they're using me for my cheese.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, good to see you too. But I wonder if it would be so good if I didn't have this whole cheese plate. Also, I think that's like me being so protective. I've, since I was like little, like I'm a person who like doesn't love to share food.
Is that something to do with siblings? Like, especially being a younger sister, maybe.
Well,
older brothers taking your cheese.
You would think so, except Jonah was always like a very light eater.
Mm.
Like Jonah sort of was different than everyone else in our family in the sense that like, he would just like be like, I'm done. And we'd be like, what? And never was like really that into desserts. I'd be like, what are we having for dessert? And Jonah would be like, can I be excused? And it was like, Jonah, get real.
Yeah, I forgot about having to ask to be excused. That was a thing for sure.
At the dinner table.
Yeah. You couldn't just get up and go.
Michelle, did you have dinner? Like, did you have like a dinner with your parents? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And did you have to ask to be excused?
Yeah, probably. I also like my duty was to like clean the table. Like that was my main chore.
Okay.
Windexing the glass table.
Oh, nice.
So I remember one time I went to my college roommate's house for Thanksgiving. And he's also an only child with like older parents. And like when his dad was done with Thanksgiving dinner, he just left.
The dad?
The dad. And then later, like, my friend just left. And I was just like, what is going on? It's like Thanksgiving dinner. They just left to go watch TV. And then I, like, helped his mom, like, clean up the entire Thanksgiving.
Wow, that's so
weird.
It was,
like, shocking to me. It was unreal. But, yeah, that's how they do it in their fam. It was really wild. Yeah.
It's so crazy.
They just, like, didn't say any. He was done. And then he didn't bring his plate to the sink or anything. He just left it there and, like, went to watch TV.
Do you think if you were one of his, like, guy friends, that they would have expected you to go watch TV?
Yeah, well, I don't think that they expected me personally to, like,
to
clean up, but I wasn't gonna, like, not
leave his mom to just.
Yeah, I think they were just like, mom. I think, first of all, they're like, I don't know if they, like, always did a Thanksgiving dinner. So maybe they're, like, a family that ate out a lot or something. But yeah, I had to, you know. And it was funny because I'm afraid he's going to, like, listen to this. But when he came to my parents' house, my parents were shocked that he didn't bring his plate to the sink. And so it was very much like, oh, that's how you were raised.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I also think, as someone who is a teenage boy, you have such a lack of awareness sometimes about, like, how other people are, how the world.
I mean, it's shocking to me that you even have that awareness to say.
Now, yeah.
Right.
I'm already like, oh, wow, that's amazing. I saw, like, some video of, like, dads being asked questions about their kids on the street. And, like, they're like, what's her elementary school? And, like, the dad didn't, like, our expectations for men are, like, so low when it comes to that kind of thing. One of them was like, oh, is your kid allergic to anything? And the dad was like, oh, I think some kind of berry, right? And the kid is like, no, I'm allergic to penicillin.
That's really funny. Well, at least we were raised with having to be excused. Once in a while, we would get allowances. Like, do you remember this, Jonah? We would get allowances once in a while. And part of our allowance was, like, we had to do chores. But then we, like, sort of didn't really do the chores. And then our parents sort of never gave us the allowance. It was sort of like something that would happen for, like, a week or two.
I remember spending most of my allowance on cassette tapes.
Mm.
And which I guess are kind of, like, cool again. Right, Michelle? Is that's like a thing now, huh? Have you gotten into that or no?
I was really into it in 2011-ish.
Okay.
I would say.
So cassette tapes are already not cool again.
I kind of feel like they are not cool again.
Now CDs are actually seem like they're getting cool again, maybe.
I think the vinyl is king still.
Yeah, vinyl always cool, for sure.
But I think that cassettes, like, had a real comeback in 2011 because I remember it's just so much cheaper to make when you're in a band. And I was really into, like, selling them as merch. And I also had a car that had a cassette player. And so I like, kind of enjoyed owning cassettes. I remember I had a Twin Peaks soundtrack cassette and I just would drive around in, like, my, like, Honda Odyssey, like, feeling like Dale Cooper or Agent Dale Cooper. Yeah, like, sneaking about to, like, the Twin Peaks soundtrack. And I think I made, like, some, like, mixtapes for people around that time. But yeah, I feel like cassettes might be out again.
Cassettes might be out again.
Yeah.
Because they had them at Urban for a while. And that's, like, when you know something is, like,
right. Totally.
And maybe soon to be over.
Yeah.
Right. They're catching stuff just in time. And it's almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bummer because I think in my kitchen now I have, this was yours, Jonah. I have, for some reason, a cassette from the movie Cocktail. Starring Tom Cruise.
Amazing.
That was my first cassette.
Whoa.
I think I have it.
You have that? Really?
I think it's here. Yeah.
Yeah. 1988. And it had Don't Worry, Be Happy, Bobby McFerrin, Kokomo, Beach Boys. I mean, it had some serious.
We've maybe talked about this on here before.
We've talked about it probably a lot. It was very influential on me.
What I'm about to say, which is that you did a you did a report and you played Kokomo in the background. Do you remember this?
No, but I mean, it's like my favorite song. So it sounds like something.
You did a report because I remember it was like something where, because we were in the same school at the time. I think it was like, we must have been in like Brady, I guess. And I was in fifth grade and you were in seventh grade or I don't know. Anyways.
It was definitely not seventh grade.
It was not seventh grade.
I feel like I was listening to like Rancid and stuff. Probably not doing like a Beach Boys sing along.
Well, whatever it was, I remember you switched whatever song. You were like going to give a report. Jonah was like a real ham, as you can imagine, Michelle. And you were going to give a report and like play a song in the background. And you decided to play Kokomo. I don't remember what the like
the context was. Yeah, who knows?
But I remember you practicing.
Gotcha. I remember, and I don't know, Michelle, if you ever did, we had like a music class and we could vote on a song each week that we could play for the class. And these kids voted for One by U2. That was like a really big song at the time.
Yeah, yeah. It is funny to think of like kids being into U2, you know?
It is really funny.
It's such a like dad band that like imagining totally. Like a group of young children being like, we want One.
Yeah. And I brought in Metallica's One because I was like, this is One. Also, we should play this 9 minute long Metallica song. And
Jonah, cool move.
Yeah, that is cool.
Mr. Foley was, they weren't having it. They were like, no.
You know, can I just say Mr. Foley kind of like, this is no offense in case he for some reason listens to this, but he like didn't have a great sense of humor. I think we can agree on that. Because like my class was really bad. Like I was in a really bad sixth grade class with him or something. And we did the same thing where we could like vote for songs. Everyone was kind of misbehaved, but like everyone was pretty funny. Like I was very well behaved, but like DeMarcus Dews was in our class and he was like pretty poorly behaved, but he was genuinely funny. Like Mr. Foley could have been like, okay, Marcus, like, and I understand he had a really hard job, like taking care of all these asshole kids, but like, he like had no sense of humor about it ever. And we had Mr. Foley, like, sorry, Michelle, to talk so much about Mr. Foley, but like, I feel like we had him forever. Like he was all through Brady, but was he also in Pepper Pike? I don't know. But anyways, Brady was our middle school. Pepper Pike was our elementary school.
That sounds like a type of like cracker.
It really does sound like a cracker.
I guess what I want to say, and I won't go on for too long since nobody except for like five people listening to this podcast will know who Mr. Foley is. I just want to say like I would have appreciated a little more of a sense of humor from him. Understanding that his job was difficult. And I give him that.
Fair enough.
And it was cool that he let us bring in songs that were popular. That was cool.
Not cool he wouldn't let us play Metallica.
And not cool that he wouldn't give us a laugh once in a while.
Michelle, I mean, being a professional musician, did you have like music classes as like in school? Were you into that or not as much? Were you in band or any of that kind of stuff? Or
I wish. I was like such a, my schedule was always like occupied, you know? I was like in a program, like I don't remember having any electives beyond school newspaper, which is what I was into.
Okay.
I didn't get to do, I took like piano classes like after school, but and guitar classes after high school, but I never got to do like band or symphony or orchestra rather. I would have really loved to have done it. But I will say that the song Kokomo was very triggering for me because when I was 3 years old, I drowned in a hot tub in Aruba. And the only time I ever heard like Aruba, Jamaica, like was in that song. And so I like, yeah, always just like associate it with like my death place.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Do you remember it?
I don't really remember it. I don't know if I've just like imagined it after the fact, but
yeah,
we were on vacation in Aruba and I have this memory of being pushed into a hot tub by like children. And I don't know if that happened or not, but my water wings were deflated and I had stuffed my mouth full of Fig Newtons and my mom was putting sunscreen on my dad's back. So they like looked away or something. And then they turned around. I was a very, very small child and someone had picked me up out of the hot tub and asked, is this anyone's doll? My parents just started like screaming. And luckily there was like a nurse on vacation that gave me CPR. But my heart stopped beating for like 45 seconds. So I was like technically dead at that age. But yeah, my mom was really smart about it. I didn't have any like complications. I think I went to the hospital for just like a day and they were like, take her to the water. So she like doesn't develop like a phobia or something.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember going like into the water like right afterwards and my mom putting me in like a bunch of swimming classes for a really long time after that. But it's funny because every time I hear the song Kokomo, I just think of that.
Oh man, sorry. Yeah.
Sorry to bring that up like 12 times.
It's not actually triggering for me, but it's, I just remember hearing that song when I was younger and always like thinking of that time.
Sure.
I definitely have no like traumatic memory of it.
Got it.
That's really good. That's really good. What were your guitar lessons like? Like, cause my guitar lessons were me basically just bringing songs I liked off the radio and trying to have my teacher transcribe them. Were you actually learning theory and stuff or were you more of that style? Yeah.
I wish, you know, I think that like now as an adult, I'm like so into that. But at that age, I was just like, teach me this Iron and Wine song. I like loved him. And he was kind of like this Christian guy. He was like a cool Christian, you know, and I took lessons at the Lesson Factory, which was next to the Guitar Center. And it was very, very corporate. And they had like all of these guitar teachers in like little cells, basically cubicles, basically. But I loved him. I thought he was so cool. And I think that he really liked me. And I think that the songs that I asked to learn were like songs that he would listen to. And so yeah, I enjoyed that. But, you know, even from an early age, I wanted to write songs. I wasn't a very serious player. I just like wanted the tools to write songs.
Yeah, yeah.
The Lesson Factor is an incredible name for like a corporate lesson place.
So funny.
Yeah, that is cool. I also want to ask really quickly about your time at the school newspaper. Like,
yeah, yeah.
The only school newspaper I know of was like the one that Brandon ran on 90210. Because we didn't have a school newspaper till like college.
Oh, really?
We didn't have one at our high school. Were you always trying to get like the
scoop? I also was like a real ham, like middle school and high school. I'm still a ham, always been a ham. And I, you know, like I really wanted editor-in-chief. I was editor-in-chief of the middle school paper and I was features editor.
Whoa, you had a middle school paper.
Yeah, I had a middle school paper. I think it was, we were called the Rough Riders. And yeah, and I was the editor-in-chief with another girl. And she was very like serious news beat. And I was like goofy features. My favorite thing to do was the back page. And I got really into writing quizzes. I was like really into like writing like personality, like Cosmo type, like personality quizzes for the back page. That was like my thing. And so that was like what I was into in high school and middle school. I think, you know, I always wanted to be a writer. And I thought for the longest time that the most like practical path to pursue writing was through journalism. And even then I sort of begun to like butt heads with like my teacher because there were all these sort of like rules of journalism and like, you know, the deadlines. And, you know, I hated authority like from a very young age. And I just wanted to write what I wanted to write. And it's funny because we were talking about Mr. Foley. My journalism teacher now has like quite some, like a group of kids, like from South, I went to South Eugene High School. A lot of them know who I am because it's such a small town and, you know, they think it's like cool that I went there and they knew that I was one of her students and, you know, had asked her about me. I like went through like a mental breakdown in like my senior year and she like was very, I don't really remember her being particularly hard on me, but I do think that, you know, we sort of butted heads because she, you know, expected a certain, you know, quality that I wasn't able to deliver to the school paper. And she wrote me like a Facebook message a few years ago, like apologizing.
Wow.
Yeah. For like being like, I just don't think I like maybe got like your sense of humor or like your creativity. I didn't like, I should have been more open to like your voice or like whatever. And I think she like had some regrets, which is funny because she wouldn't be like the first teacher I would look back on. And I didn't harbor any like real resentment towards her or feel that way. But I think she like felt some guilt that maybe she didn't like let my creativity flourish more and she was like strict with me, but I didn't really feel that way about her, but I thought it was really sweet to like get that message. Yeah,
that's so nice.
So I wonder maybe Mr. Foley, like if he heard this, he would be like, I should have had more of a sense of humor.
I wonder if he'll write me a message and be like, Joan, I'm sorry, we should have let you play One by Metallica.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get it because like I've been in that situation before, like where you just like are trying to do your best and like take your job seriously and like you're nervous maybe. Like I've been in situations where I've done things and I've been nervous and I've like kind of lacked a sense of humor that like I should have had and look back on certain moments where I'm like, oh, I messed that up. But it was because I wanted to do such a good job, weirdly.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. And also, I think like for our teachers, like, well, currently, like to me, nothing is scarier than like teenagers. But like, I'm sure middle school kids, too, are like,
oh, yeah,
just terrifying. And having to be their teacher. And truly, my class was, we were such assholes. But yeah,
I mean, to be a teacher in this time, it sounds horrifying. I mean, to just like be like sort of like not even out of touch, but like just like a generation or like three generations apart from like such a sharp, like unforgiving generation. Like, yeah. Must be just like completely terrifying. I mean, I just, it's mostly like for good, I think. But I mean, to put together a curriculum and then also have to deal with like the sort of bureaucracy of like what the high school wants your syllabus to be. And then all of these like teenagers being like, this is like racist, sexist, ableist, like, and then having to like navigate those two poles must just be so exhausting.
Yeah, totally. You know, another reason why our teachers might want to kind of apologize to us and have a sense of humor.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, well, we're actually in retrospect pretty easy. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, but I think you've made this point, I think, towards Mr. Foley.
Chill out, Mr. Foley.
By the way, no real issue with him. Just would have loved a sense of humor. Go ahead, Jonah.
Yeah, I was just going to say we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with Michelle's daughter.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back.
Really shitting on the teachers. Fuck teachers.
Done shitting on the teachers that work so hard to educate us.
So we asked Michelle for a topic as we usually do. And Michelle has a really great topic today. It's VHS tapes we watched and rewatched growing up. Michelle, what tapes were you really, really into when you were a kid?
I was so into cassettes in general. I think my favorite cassettes were definitely my Sailor Moon VHS tapes. I don't know. I feel like I had so many like Julia Roberts films on VHS tape. Like I know I had like Notting Hill. I think I had, what is another?
My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yeah. I love that film. I love anything Julia Roberts is in pretty much. I could probably like recite every line of dialogue from When Harry Met Sally. Yeah. Various. Oh, like any like Studio Ghibli VHS tape. Lots of Disney, lots of Pixar, those types of tapes.
Yeah.
I also remember I used to, do you guys remember those like rewinders?
Yeah.
Like they had cars or like different, yep.
Yeah, you had like a separate plastic like rewinder where you would like, once you were done with the tape, you would like put it in to the rewinder and it would rewind faster than it would on the TV and you could like watch another movie while you rewinded it back or whatever.
Yeah, or you would get fined by like the rental place if you didn't rewind your tape.
Oh, yeah,
which it seems like
right.
Such a scam,
yeah,
right?
That is such a scam. I guess because it did take a long time to rewind it.
I wonder if they had like 5 of those kinds of things, you know?
I bet they did. They write those off and then.
But it's also just like, just rent it to someone so they have to rewind it, like make the next person rewind it.
How long do you think it takes to rewind like a 2-hour movie?
In the machine or in the TV?
Just in the TV, say you don't have the machine. 5 minutes?
Yeah. Like the longest 5 minutes of your life.
Yeah. That's true. I guess it took a long time, but it still does feel like it was crazy. It was like, yeah, not returning like a rental car without gas or something. They'd be like, if you didn't rewind it.
What do you think the fee was?
I know.
I don't know what the fee was. That's a really good question.
And you would pay for the movie up front. So I guess you'd get charged like...
They'd probably just tack it on
somehow. Like a late fee.
Yeah, like a late fee.
Look, our producer Olivia is saying that Rewind fees were $1 to $2, and replacement fees, lost VHS, would be $60 to $80.
Yeah, that's insane.
Wait, what? That's
Where was it? Like at Blockbuster?
I remember being at the movie store and it would say like the price would be like $100 on the thing.
Oh, wow.
Like,
Blockbuster.
Come on.
Wow. That is such a scam. Come on.
Yeah. Hard to feel sympathy for Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Michelle, you live in New York now. Is that?
Yeah.
Speaking of When Harry Met Sally, have you been to Katz's Deli?
I have. Yeah.
You have? And did you think about that movie when you were there?
Of course. Yeah. I've only been there one time.
Okay.
And I had like a sandwich that was like almost a foot tall. But I haven't been back there. It's kind of funny because like I dated someone who was from Staten Island and his knowledge of New York was very impressive to me, but now it's really not. You know, it was basically like I was such a hayseed from Oregon. He actually even used to call me hayseed, and I was just so impressed that he like could take the subway. And now that I live in New York, it's like really not a big deal. But I remember like we went to Katz's Deli and to like Max Brenner and me being, oh, wow, with cool knowledge. And like we also went to like the Strand and I was like, wow, he's a real New York guy. And now I realize those things like are not impressive.
So, like the most touristy places you can go.
Crazy.
That is so funny. That's really funny.
Going back to VHS tapes, we were talking about what we watched a lot. We watched a lot of like Chris Farley movies and stuff, and we kind of had them memorized. And the other thing that was kind of cool about Tommy Boy, which was probably our favorite, was it took place in Cuyahoga County, right, Jonah? Which is where we're from.
There where we grew up, yeah.
Which I wonder if they actually filmed it there.
I don't know. Yeah, we would watch those movies just because we didn't have that many movies. And there was like four channels on TV. So I felt like we'd watch these movies over and over. Was that your experience too?
Yeah, I definitely, yeah. I feel like I had like a pretty hefty VHS collection. My main memory is like I have my best friend who's still very much a best friend of mine named Corey Potts, and the two of us would watch like the same VHS tapes over and over again. And it was funny because like she had certain VHS tapes that I would like very much associate with her home that she like knew very well, and there were certain VHS tapes that we would always watch that were really associated with my home. Now and Then was like another really big movie.
Oh, that was a huge...
I don't remember that one.
It's for the girls, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh.
Vanessa, what were you saying?
I was saying when I was in camp, if we like made our beds the best, like they would inspect our cabins. If we won like some kind of award, we would watch Now and Then.
Oh, really? Wait, weird.
It was always, they would bring this little TV into our cabin and we could watch it, or we could watch it in this lodge. I think we've maybe talked about this before, but we were never like, can we watch something else? It was always like Now and Then, like year after year.
Yeah.
Week after week, it would be like, you guys get to watch Now and Then. And we were like, okay, we'll watch it again.
I love that movie.
What is it about? I've never
heard
of it.
It's like the Stand By Me for girls.
Yeah.
Got it.
But it's like set in the, 50s or something?
Yeah, it's like it shows them when they're kids, but then the adult versions of them are Rhea Wilson,
Rosie O'Donnell, Demi Moore,
and is it Melanie Griffith plays like,
she's
like a celebrity now, like she rolls up like in like a limo,
okay,
and she's like a celebrity now, and it shows them like as kids having fun, and then like as adults, and the kids stuff,
there's like a match cut where she like is going on the swing as an adult, and she swings back and she's a child.
Yeah.
It's like the teenage version. Yeah.
It's sort of scary. Like they try to make it like a little bit scary when they're kids. Like they're trying to like solve it. Are they like trying to solve a mystery or something? Either
it's very much a homage to Stand By Me, where they're like in Stand By Me, they're trying to find this dead body. And then Now and Then they're trying to like solve some kind of mystery about the murder of like two people in their town like years ago.
Yeah. It's nice because it never gets that serious. Like you get scared for a second and then you're like they keep it pretty tame in a way that I appreciated as a kid because I didn't like scary stuff.
I also am that way. I think my suspension of disbelief is like very high. And so I like cannot handle anything horror.
Yeah, same. I was like, this is about as scary as all.
That is very low. Now and Then is like not a movie that anyone thinks of as scary.
I know.
That's like saying like the big slide at like a fair is like the scary, like a scary ride.
I was going to say, it's like the scary amount of like the scary factor of Home Alone, where like you're kind of scared of that one guy that he's scared of.
Yeah.
And then you realize he's nice and you're like, oh, I was like a little scared, but not that much.
Your threshold for being scared, I think, is lower.
It's pretty
at that
low. Yeah,
age. Yeah. 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 We had like Die Hard, a lot of these like 90s action movies. I was very into. Did either of you get into that? Well, Vanessa, you were kind of had to watch probably a lot of
this. Oh, yeah. Yes. My favorite VHS tape of all time was The Fifth Element, okay. Which was like the greatest. I mean, that's probably still my like favorite movie of all time. And that like, you know, Bruce Willis is, because of that movie, is like my favorite actor of all time.
And it's Mila Jovovich,
yeah. Who's incredible, yeah.
Were you guys ever into her music? I remember really loving her music.
What? I didn't even know
she had this song called The Gentleman Who Fell. You should look it up. It was such a good song. And I remember my best friend Gwen and I were really into it. Her music career sort of didn't take off, but she was really good.
It didn't? I can see that. I mean, she seems so... I watched this like video of her like talking about her experience on that show. And she seems like someone who would be a musician, I feel like. Is it kind of like a Kylie Minogue vibe? Or like a trip-hoppy vibe is what I would...
It almost sounds like Tori Amos a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Like, not really, but like a little bit.
Did she play guitar in Dazed and Confused? Wasn't she in that? And there was like a scene where they were playing guitars,
she was.
I think.
You're right. You're right. Yes. She was probably trying to be like, guys, I also do this. We watched Dazed and Confused on VHS so much.
Yeah, we watched that one a lot.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we watched all the time... that's similar is Empire Records.
Oh, I love that movie.
Was really into that.
Great Guar cameo in that movie.
Great Guar cameo.
Great Guar.
I didn't know that Guar was real. And then I think, Jonah, you told me. Like, I thought they were created for the movie.
Yeah, no, I think they're still playing.
They're still playing in big costumes.
Michelle, any other movies that kind of stand out to you from that era that you were super into?
I guess like the only, I remember the local video store was called Flicks and Picks. And you would take like these little paper tags that were on hooks and that you would bring them to the counter and they would give you the VHS there. And when I was younger, like in elementary school, I remember I would get the Studio Ghibli movie Totoro over and over again, and to the point where my mom was like, we should just buy this movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's like my comfort movie. I feel like I am 8 years old when I watch that movie. Again and again.
Ours was called Flicks too. Our local.
Oh, really?
It was just called Flicks. No.
It was called Starflix.
Starflix. Starflix. And I remember I rented the Best of the State, you know, the state, like the MTV comedy group, The State. I don't know if you ever watched that. It's like Michael Showalter and Michael Ian Black and David Wayne and stuff. They were in this show called The State. And they did sketches and they had like a Best of VHS tape called Skits and Stickers that had their best like comedy sketches. And I rented it so much that they sort of let me have it, basically. And then our mom got to buy the case for it for $5. They were like, yeah, you can just have the case. And so it was like, so now, and I still have it again in my kitchen with my cocktail cassette. I have like the VHS tape from Starflix of Skits and Stickers. Because they basically were kind of like you keep renting it, like just take, like they, I
you
think they were
kind of
like. You
paid $400 for this video already. You might as well just take it. Yeah.
I had rented it so many times that they were just like, you might as well. So anyways, I still have it. It probably says Starflix on it.
It seems like you guys had like such an early education in like comedy sketches. Like it makes sense that you would wind up in that field.
Well, thank you.
I feel like I never, where did you guys grow up?
In Ohio.
In like suburbs of Cleveland.
Ohio. Oh.
Suburbs that sound like crackers. Like,
yeah.
In Moreland Hills is actually the town we grew up in. And it was near Chagrin Falls and Pepper Pike.
Yeah. I guess I never really watched like a lot of, I don't know if it's like, cause there's like a, maybe almost a generation between us, but yeah, that was like not something I remember. Like SNL was like not a big thing where I grew up. I feel like as much as it is like on the East Coast, I feel like, and comedy sketches was not something I really like grew up watching.
That era was so different because I feel like all these SNL people like Chris Farley and Adam Sandler and stuff were in these like huge blockbuster movies. And I don't know if that was as much of a thing kind of later.
Oh, yeah. I did own Big Daddy.
Yeah. Okay.
I did enjoy Big Daddy. That's what it's called, right? That sounds so weird saying multiple times.
That is
times,
what it's called.
But yeah.
That is what it's called.
It would be like horrifying if that's not what it was called. I just like remembered it that way.
I do think there were movies like that coming out late. Like those were consistent, I think, through the 90s. But yeah, just maybe it was, yeah, we were very into that stuff, but I don't think, you know, it wasn't everywhere. It was like, we were just, we watched that stuff all the time, I guess.
Were your parents into it?
Our parents were pretty into Chris Farley. They were pretty into Tommy Boy and Black Sheep and stuff, right? We went as a family to the theater to see Beverly Hills Ninja. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine watching something like that with my parents.
Yeah, I feel like it was also, this was like pre-internet. So I just feel like there's like less options of like stuff,
yeah,
like media. Like I felt like just kind of, it was like one of like the popular things. It was a, you just kind of watched everything kind of that was popular because you didn't have a lot of choices.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. But I think we were really into it, you know, Jonah?
Yeah, I'm not discounting it. I'm just putting in like a kind of a cultural context. But yeah, I think you're right.
But also the other thing is, and we thought that we saw this photo of you with your Sailor Moon VHS tape.
That's like my Rosebud moment, you know? Like you're like, I found that photo and I was just like, nothing will ever give me that amount of joy, you know? I could have won a Grammy last year and you would not see me look like that, you know?
Yeah. We were also talking about when you're a kid somehow, and I don't know, maybe this is just has to do with like, because there's more stuff out. It's just like, we would watch the same stuff. Like, I'm sure you watch that Sailor Moon VHS tape, like just it never gets like, you just are like, I gotta just keep watching this. Like you just could rewatch stuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I also like, don't like collect things the way that it was like so important to like collect at that age. And
yeah,
I just wanted to own everything. It was also like that. I don't know why I was like so into the series, but I like first saw like a Sailor Moon episode, I think, when I was in Korea. And I was like, just so, I don't know why, I was just like obsessed with it. And it was like, that kind of stuff was sort of like hard to find in the US because it was like a Japanese import. And then they sort of like started playing on Cartoon Network, and then we would get some like English like Sailor Moon VHS types. And so like getting those was like such an exciting, that was like, yeah, all I wanted in my life was like anything that had Sailor Moon on it. It could be like a sticker or like a keychain or a CD, and like, you know, to get a VHS was like, so I was so happy.
Yeah,
because it was like rare, like it was like kind of hard to find like this thing that I was interested in.
Yeah,
because you have no control over it now. If you want to like watch that kind of thing, you can just like search for it and find it. But I remember like all of my aunts in Korea were like looking high and low for anything with like a Sailor Moon character on it, because like it was no longer popular there. So it was like kind of hard to find, and like you couldn't just like buy something on Amazon. You would have to literally like scour stores. And I had like family members like looking for that kind of thing to like bring back for me. And I was just like so obsessed with it for probably like 4 years or something.
Yeah.
And then you just start over it, you know? Sometimes.
Yeah, right, totally. Right. Totally.
We're going to take one more break and we'll be back with a brand new segment with Michelle Zahner.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
And we're back. So we have a brand new segment today that we're going to try out. I'm going to try to think of a way to introduce this in a way that's not totally confusing. It's called Legit Moan or Unnecessary Groan.
Legit Moan. Unnecessary Groan.
This segment was inspired by a now defunct column in our local paper growing up, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, called Monday Moaning.
What?
Yes, this was an actual column. I found archived versions of it online. They ended it about 10 years ago. We used to read this column on Mondays, where it was basically readers writing with these really petty complaints. Yeah. And they would print them every Monday in the paper. This is like, wow, the Cleveland Plain. This is like our like big paper. We used to find them funny as kids, and read them today is way funnier. So we're going to pick three that we found from the archives.
Wow.
And then we'll decide if they're a legit moan or an unnecessary groan.
Oh, okay. I love. Yeah, this is great.
So it's called Monday Moaning. Then we're going to decide. Vanessa, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
Yeah. And I just want to say, just for anyone listening, these are actual things that were printed in the Monday Moaning section of the Cleveland Plain Dealer circa 10 years ago before it was canceled because it was such a bummer. Okay, I'll read the first
one.
And
Michelle, you can use your newspaper editor instincts with this.
Yes,
as well.
Absolutely.
This is something that I probably would have loved to have printed on my back page of the Roosevelt Rough Riders. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, here's the first one. If your kids are getting the school bus, which stops at the end of your driveway to pick them up, they should be there waiting to get the bus, not standing in the doorway, not waiting in your van. They should be ready and prepared to get on the bus when it arrives. If they aren't, the bus should leave. Just sign me crankshaft. And this is someone from Olmsted Falls.
This is pre-Yelp.
Yes, this is pre-Yelp.
Yes.
Yeah, this is probably, yeah, what people spend their time doing instead of Yelping.
And Jonah, will you just clarify, crankshaft was a cartoon?
Crankshaft was a cartoon about like a cranky school bus driver.
Oh, so it is a bus driver. Or are they a parent or are they a bus driver?
Said, just sign me crankshaft. I think they're being kind of self-aware and being like, I know I'm being like a cranky bus driver, but this is what I think.
We think that they are the bus driver.
No, we think that they're just being kind of facetious.
I don't know. I think they could be the bus driver.
Or
they could
another
be a parent.
Parent observing their child on the curb or like another. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's really confusing what their role is in this situation. Like, are they just a neighbor? Are they impatient? Like, why are they so concerned about this?
That makes all the difference to me, because if they're just like a person who's like just someone who lives on the street and just watches these kids like be late for the bus, it's like,
if you get stuck behind a bus and you're driving.
That's true. That's true. Okay, that makes sense. I think it must either be like, in my mind, I was like, oh, it's a parent who sends their kid to the curb and are watching other kids not be prepared and make their kid late, or it's someone that is stuck in a car behind the bus that's waiting for the kid with the little stop sign out, or it's the actual bus driver.
I bet it's the person in traffic who can't pass the bus, and then these kids aren't ready, and he's like, okay, I'm gonna write this letter on Monday, I'm gonna voice this out into the.
I would agree with that. I bet it's that person.
I will say, like, you know, Jonah and I used to always be running for the bus, like never were like, we're very rarely like waiting at the curb on time. I would say, like, I feel for the kids who it's like hard to get to school on time. If this person had clarified and said, like, this gets in the way of my drive in the morning and stuff, I'd have a little more compassion for them. They've written this in such a way that they just seem like they're like a nosy neighbor who's just like looking for something to complain about. So I would call this an unnecessary groan. What do you guys think?
Well, the first thing that I think of is like, you know, I mean, doesn't it get quite cold in Ohio?
Yes. Yes.
I would feel for the kids that, you know, are waiting at the curb for a bus driver that's probably having other kids that are running late and behind and never exactly on time, you know, waiting in the cold, which is, you know, a health hazard. So I am team unnecessary groan.
Me too.
Reason.
Unnecessary groan. All right. We're all in agreement on that groan. One. Sorry, Olmsted Falls.
Sorry, Olmsted Falls. Jonah, do you want to read the next
crankshaft
one?
Crankshaft.
Sorry, crankshaft. Number two is, this one's from Lakewood, Ohio, where I lived for a little while. Are we ever going to have quote unquote singers that were taught to sing so you could understand every word?
Oh, this person's dead to me already.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to hear nothing but sound and very little melody. Thank God for Lawrence Welk's Saturday Night Program. Good music and every word can be heard.
Oh, God.
Have any of this new generation who all sound alike ever listened to Frank Sinatra or Doris Day to hear what a difference understandable words make?
Oh, God. Big time unnecessary groans. As someone who, like, definitely no one has any idea what I'm singing about, I have to say that's, like, such an unnecessary groan. It's like something that my parents would always say when I like would play them something I spent months and months working on. It's like, oh, I can never understand what you're saying. Shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, my question is, how old do you think the person is? Because this column was like 10 years. It's not like this column was like, this letter could have been printed like 50 years ago.
Right. It wasn't like the heyday of Lawrence Welk that this was. This is probably from like 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago.
So I think this person was probably quite
old.
Quite old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But also odd of the Plain Dealer to be like, I mean, you know, obviously this column no longer exists for a reason, but I wonder how they chose their, I mean, this is leads to a bigger question, but it's like that they printed this. It's sort of,
well, they printed a lot of really bizarre stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess what's interesting to me about it, this person's criteria for music is number one, can I understand all the words?
Yeah.
Then like melody and songwriting and all that other stuff. Like that's like the number one thing for them. That's a little weird.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
I feel like that's such an older person thing to like complain about.
Yeah. Also something that, you know, talking to music, like that's, this person's obviously not like really, I don't mean to judge
their
this
references
person.
aren't very obscure. So.
Yeah.
This is not going to be a big like screamo fan, I imagine.
It just feels like, again, I don't want to judge this person, although.
That's the nature of this game, though.
That's the nature. You're right.
This is pretty much the most anonymous thing that it can be. This is a random letter from someone from 10 years ago.
That's true. If they were really into music, I don't think that they would be like, I gotta know what all the lyrics are. Like that feels like they're not really.
But even like Bob Dylan or something, this person must hate Bob Dylan.
Right.
Like, can you imagine? Like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't hear the words.
But I also feel like there are just some people that like, they only like things that have been established as good, like objectively good, you know, which is like my enemy, you know?
Yeah.
As a contemporary like singer that like is weird, you know, that's like not Adele. That is like my, you know, I mean, I think that that was especially like when I went on SNL, I was like, okay, it's going to be a lot of people like that listening to us play with that kind of commentary. And like what was like most scary about playing SNL was like, oh, like 50% of people at least are going to fucking hate us, you know? Because they're going to say things like, you know, I can't understand what she's saying.
Words.
This doesn't sound at all like Frank Sinatra. I don't get it.
Or Lawrence Welk.
Why doesn't she sound like Beyonce? You know.
Well, that's interesting. So Michelle, you're going to give this
unnecessary groan, big time for me.
Okay. Same here, Vanessa. What about you?
Same.
What is the other one?
Unnecessary
mournful
groan.
Moan.
Legit moan.
Okay, legit.
Because the column's called Monday Moaning. I think those are going to be rare.
Legit moan. Yeah. Well, we'll see. Yeah.
Let's maybe this will be. Vanessa, do you want to read our last one?
Okay. Sure. To the reader who complained about Steelers items being sold at Giant Eagle. Giant Eagle is like this big grocery store chain in Cleveland. To the reader who complained about Steelers items being sold at Giant Eagle and who would not shop there again, obviously there must be a demand for Steelers items. If you were looking for Browns items, you should have checked the clearance aisle. That's where you'll find them this time of year. So just to clarify, Steelers or the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Pittsburgh Steelers, a football team.
Okay.
And then Cleveland Browns is the Cleveland team.
Okay.
And so this is in response, I guess, to another column where someone was complaining about Giant Eagle selling Steelers stuff because that's the Browns' rival. They, I guess, didn't think that should be sold in Cleveland.
Yeah. Just to clarify, they're saying, by the way, this was signed Twinsburg. This is someone from Twinsburg, Ohio. They're saying there must be a demand for Steelers items. If you were looking for Browns items, you should have checked the clearance out. I don't know if that was a...
Sassy.
Yeah, that's a dig at the Browns, who have historically been a pretty bad team.
This is someone who probably, is not a real loyal Cleveland Browns fan and is not bothered by the fact that they're selling a Pittsburgh team's, you know, merch.
Maybe they're from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, maybe they're from Pittsburgh at an Ohio grocery store. You know, look.
Vanessa doesn't like this one.
This is a moan on top of a moan. Like, this is someone who's responding to another Monday moaning with their own Monday moaning. And I don't mind that. I think that's kind of a legit move.
I think it's a legit moan.
I think it might be a legit moan because the person must have written in and been like, Giant Eagle, you're selling Steeler stuff. I'll never go back there. And Giant Eagle is probably like, you know, good riddance.
Yeah.
So this, I would say, is a legit moan. Legit I like that this person moan. Thought, I'm going to razz this other moaner a little bit because, you know, grow up, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michelle, what are your thoughts?
I identify moan on top of a moan.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that's something that I could see myself doing.
Yeah.
I think I get more upset at people complaining about something than having any of my own, like, general complaints, maybe.
Right.
I don't know. I identify with moaning on top of moaning. So it's a legit moan for me.
Yeah.
Legit I think it's legit moan. Also. I think, you know, Giant Eagle is a store. You know, they can sell things by this team. I mean, there's probably Steelers fans. Pittsburgh is not that far from Cleveland. So, I mean, geographically, I think it makes sense. And I don't think this person's going to stop going to like their local grocery store because of that. Like, they're not going to drive an extra 20 minutes to get their pizza rolls or whatever. There's no way.
Yeah.
It's sports, not like politics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The stakes are not that high. So I'm going to say, I think we're in agreement. Maybe like the initial one we're not reading is maybe an unnecessary groan, but this one is a legit moan on top of that.
And in fact, moan. I'd like to go one step farther and say that... When we were kids, when we were reading these, I wish we had thought to write moans about people's moans.
Yeah.
I wish we had thought to write in and specifically target specific people's stupid complaints and written our own.
You would be writing in as the kids late for the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
To crankshaft. Yeah. Listen.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Yeah. Yeah. To the person who wrote this, you know, it's 10 degrees out. It's 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to stand outside the end of my long driveway for 20 minutes.
You don't understand the pressures on kids these days. We have like a lot to deal with. And like, sorry that we're not there right on time waiting in the cold, you know, so that you can maybe have more fun. You know, tell us who you are. What's your role in this?
And I would write to the second guy about why I don't enunciate my lyrics.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Is it too late? I guess it probably is too late.
What's the generation above boomers? That's what this person is, I think.
The greatest.
Oh, the
greatest generation. This person might be the generation before. I don't know. This person, I think.
What's the generation before the greatest generation?
The best.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the silent generation. Is that real?
Oh, that sucks.
The silent generation.
Why is that? Like, because of their movies?
Oh, maybe that's why. Oh, children are meant to be seen and not heard. No joke. Okay, they grew up as the silent generation because they were supposed to be.
They are the children that were told to be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
Did that work?
Well, like, apparently not, because one of them grew up and wrote this dumb Monday morning thing about wanting to hear lyrics. I guess maybe that has something to do with them having to be so quiet when they were a kid. Okay, it's come really full circle. Now, Michelle... We had a lot of fun with you today.
Yeah.
Where can people find you and your songs, everything?
Google Japanese Breakfast. My website is called japanesebreakfast.rocks, and it has all of our upcoming tour dates and information about the band and probably my book on there as well. Find me on the internet.
Great. Great. Well, we had so much fun with you. Thanks to everyone for listening. And if you enjoyed this, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we'll discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones like VHS tapes and stuff like that. So, Michelle, thanks again.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.